Well, I don't know if you can remember yourselves this occasion. I'm sure possibly most of you can, with possibly one exception. But perhaps that's a bit rude to highlighted one person, but I'm sure you can. I can remember, and I was only very young at the time, a child, how astonished I was, and how marvellous it seemed when the fourth television channel started. It was quite a momentous occasion, it seemed, to a very young man or young child even at that particular time. And I would never have believed we would reach the stage where we have now, where, depending on your TV supplier is, you can have almost, it seems, hundreds of different channels and still nothing worth watching on. I think perhaps we will agree. But I wonder if you've got one of those suppliers that give you so many channels, you've been flicking through looking for something to watch, and then you find yourself in the religion section. Perhaps possibly by accident. I dare say an awful lot of people would find themselves there by accident. And then you found yourself watching some programs there. Now, I'd like to emphasise that there are actually some good programs on there. There's a channel called UCB, and that's a reliable, good channel. I'd encourage you to watch it. I'm slightly biased, if I'm honest, because my old college is their doctrinal advisor now. So I feel fairly confident that they would be, some good stuff would be on the UCB channel. And there's one or two other channels that, maybe have some good programs to watch on it. But, and I emphasise this especially, a lot of the other channels will have all kinds of weird and bizarre stuff on them. Tragically, what those channels will be teaching is not biblical truth. It doesn't tally with what the Bible says. And it's not just coming from the television. That's the case in other areas as well. There are different religious sects, different religious groups. Tragically, even Christian, in inverted commas, churches that teach a different gospel to the one that we find in God's word. That's what is happening. And it shouldn't surprise us, because the Bible warns us about this. One of the places in which the Bible warns us that there will be this false teaching is the passage that we're looking at this morning. We've been making our way through the book of 1 John. We've had a bit of a gap over the summer, but we're back to hopefully finish off 1 John in the next couple of months. And in those first six verses of chapter 4, the warning is there that there are going to be those who teach falsehood. Teach things that don't tally with truth, don't tally with the word of God. Now, we've already said about 1 John that John has a rather repetitive writing style. What he does is he says some things and then he goes on to another theme, but then he later on comes back to the same theme. And as he comes back to it, he develops it a bit more. So this idea that the importance of believing the truth, believing that which is light, is not new to us in this letter. We've come across it a few times already before. But he's developing it a bit more here. And his message, quite simply, is this, as you'll see on the sheet. He's encouraging the people of God. He says, look, be discerning. Don't be gullible. Don't just swallow everything that's given to you. Anyone who comes and says they speak for Almighty God, it doesn't mean that they are. Be discerning. Be alert. We need to be discerning. And it's important to make the point, this is not just addressed to church leaders. Now, it's true to say that those in spiritual leadership, elders and pastors, have a responsibility to be discerning on behalf of the church, to pastor the congregation. But actually, John is here saying every individual needs to be discerning, to be listening to what people are saying and testing it, seeing if actually it is the truth. John starts off by saying, beloved. He's addressing it to everyone. It's not a phrase he uses just for the church leaders. It's to all the people of God, the whole church. He says, you need to be able to discriminate between truth and error. Now, what does that mean? Well, in our church library, it's not actually out at the moment, but there's a little book about that thing called Grudem's Systematic Theology. And it goes through systematically what the Bible teaches. Now, am I saying that you need to really know everything that's in Grudem's Systematic Theology and be able to quote exactly which bit of the book it comes from? Well, the answer is, of course, I am not saying that. I'm not saying you need to be an expert in the cultural and different world faiths. But what John is saying is this: every true child of God should have enough of a grasp of the truth of Christian teaching to be able to work out when they hear something whether it's true or whether it's not. And that's what John is here saying. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. A famous writer, remember the name of G.K. Chesterton, said this: when people abandon the truth, they don't believe in nothing, they believe in anything. What he's saying is a lack of discernment, you know, all kinds of bizarre ideas come and they'll believe it because they've abandoned the truth. That's true of the world outside, but sadly it's also true in the church and individual believers. We can so easily be taken in and swallow what other people say to us. That was what was happening here. This is one of the reasons why the letter was written from John to these churches around the Ephesus area. People didn't know what was right or wrong. There were people saying things and they were beginning to question, well, is that right? And John writes this letter to make it clear what's true and what is error. True believers need to be discerning. True believers in John's day need to be discerning, but so do we today. So what advice does John give as to how we can be sure that we're not going to be taken in by some false teachers? Well, you'll see on your notices sheet, first time we'll be able to say that, the three things that we want to say, three points that John wants to make especially. First of all, he encourages them to recognise the existence of false teaching. Secondly, to believe in the truth of Jesus' incarnation. And then finally, hear the teaching of God's word. So first of all, we need to recognise the existence of false teaching. Verse 1, beloved, John speaking, do not believe every spirit. Test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. The first point John makes is the need to understand that false teaching is out there. Do not believe every spirit, he says. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. What does he mean by those words? What John is saying is this: there are teachers around at that time, and they are all either of one group. They're either of the group who are the mouthpiece of the Spirit of God. They're preaching in line with Scripture. They're preaching the truth. That's one group. But then there's another group, and they are the mouthpiece of the phrase he used later on, if you like, the Antichrist, where they're against God in place of Christ. And they are preaching error. And he says to the believers, you need to be discerning, you need to watch out. Now, it goes against the grain to say that today. We live in an age where everything is deemed as being right, I suppose, in a manner of speaking. It's not deemed to be the right thing to say, or the correct thing to say. There's such a thing as absolute truth. One thing is true to one person, and something else is true to another. Which, if we think about it with any sense of common sense, I think you come to realise that actually that's nonsense. If there's two opposing views, they can't both be right. And the Bible is very, very clear on this. There is truth and there is error. And John says, the Bible says, Christians need to recognize that there are false teachers out there. It's not just something we find in this passage. We find it throughout Scripture. The Apostle Paul wrote, 1 Timothy chapter 4, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared." In Acts chapter 20, Paul actually warns elders and overseers of one of the churches that from within their own ranks they would arise in such false teachers. "I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them." So it's from within the church that some of these false teachers will come. They profess faith in the Lord Jesus, but their teaching shows that they're not true followers of Jesus Christ. And John wants to emphasize where this false teaching comes from. It's from demonic spirit. And he says that this is where it's coming from. You need to be aware of its origins. And they're out and about in the world. And they're not obvious. They haven't got a sign saying, "I am a false teacher." They seem very plausible. And they claim to be teaching the truth. Again, that's not something we just find here in John's epistle. Jesus, in Matthew 7, says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." So they appear to be harmless, but they're not. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul also talks about the plausibility, or the seeming plausibility, of some of these false teachers. 2 Corinthians 11, "For such men are false prophets, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ." And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. So Paul points out what's also here in John. They seem fine. They seem plausible. They seem servants of righteousness. And yet behind them is evil spirits. Ultimately, Satan. He is the origin of such false teaching. Now, there's a danger when we talk about this that we may start getting scared and concerned. Even as Christians, when you hear about the teaching and the false teaching that's around, and the fact that its origins come from Satan, you may think, how are we going to cope with this? Well, lest we feel like that, John deals with it. Verses 4 to 6, he says, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. If we are truly people of God, if we really know the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to remember that we don't need to be, to worry and fear even such demonic attack. Why? Because God is mightier than Satan, and we, by his grace, share in his victory. In fact, John actually says it. He is in us. We have the Spirit of God in us, indwelling us. And he is infinitely more powerful than Satan. And he will illuminate Scripture for us. He will help us to discern between truth and error. Sometimes the presence of evil in the world, and maybe even in ourselves, can seem overwhelming. But the Holy Spirit is far, far stronger and will prevail. And we, through no merit of our own, but by the grace of God, are on the victory side. That particular verse, "He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world," was sent by a well-known theologian of the past, a man by the name of John Calvin, to some persecuted Christians who were facing death. And he encouraged them, not with platitudes, but he sent this verse to them. he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So we're to recognize the existence of false teaching. We're to test all that we hear. But how? How are we to go about that? Well, our next point is that we need to believe in the truth of Jesus' incarnation. And we see that in verses 2 through to 5. Especially 2 and 3. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Second point John wants to make is this, that we need to know who Jesus is. We need to know who he is. Why? Well, because in the false teachers about in John's day were striving to confuse people about that. Denying that he is God. It would appear they were denying in some senses that Jesus existed before he was born. That's why he says about confessing Jesus has come in the flesh. And by denying that, denying that he is God, has massive implications for what he can do for us, for what he has done for us, for who he is. Now, this is still something very relevant for us. Who Jesus is the main battlefield between false teachers and those faithful to Scripture. And if a person's teaching, Christian teacher's teaching goes awry and to the point of heresy, then the chances are it will be on who Jesus is. And certainly there are many individuals and groups who deny the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's God. But yeah, he was a special man. Yes, he is amazing teaching. Yes, he did some amazing things. Thank God. Well, that has big implications in terms of the Christian message. Because if he isn't God, he cannot save us. But John is clear in these verses. He's clear in the verses earlier in the book of 1 John. If anyone tries to deny that Jesus is God, anyone tries to deny that he came down to earth in human flesh, then you know where they stand. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter what qualifications they may have. It doesn't matter how important a position they may have within the church. It doesn't matter those things. You know they definitely have not come from God. Because if they come from God, they will profess Jesus' full humanity and his full deity. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. In fact, John is prepared to go further. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Now, whenever we hear that word, our pulses tend to go faster, and we sometimes get a bit caught up in that. I'm not going to go into a discussion over is there one specific Antichrist or whatever, and that's something perhaps for another day. But the point here John is making isn't really about that. He's not mainly concerned about the future. He's talking about the fact that the spirit of the Antichrist was there in John's day. John is pointing out this is almost a principle. There are spirits that are against Christ, seeking to replace him, setting others in his place. These are the hallmarks of the work of the Antichrist. And John says, be clear who Jesus is. Believe in the truth of Jesus' incarnation. Recognize that he is God and he came down in human flesh. What we mean by the incarnation. Believe in that truth. But his final point is that we should hear the teaching of God's word. Verse 6, we are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. John says, Whoever knows God listens to us. Now you may be sat there thinking, well, that's a rather arrogant boast for John to come out with. But actually, it's not at all. In fact, quite the opposite. The other side, the false teachers, were arrogantly saying that they had special knowledge that others were not privy to. But John's standing against that. Who does he mean by us? Well, he's talking about the apostles. Those who'd been trusted by Jesus Christ with the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the early church. They had witnessed to this in Christ. They had been taught by him. And it's his teachings that they are now passing on. It's not their own ideas. They are, if you like, a conduit passing on the teachings of Jesus Christ. He appointed them. Nothing for them to be proud of. And they are called to be faithful and obey him as they stand for the truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And John says that those who know God will listen, will follow. Again, it's not new. It's not something that just comes here in 1 John. Jesus himself said in John 10, John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." The Spirit of God gives the people of God a desire for the Word of God, a desire to hear it, a desire also to follow it, to obey it. Now, John isn't here giving his readers a new instruction for them to follow, to listen to the apostolic teaching. If you look at what he actually says, it's quite different. He's telling them, you already will be, if you're truly saved. You will recognize that. You will be following it. He's making the point that if a desire to follow God's word is missing in an individual, then they don't really know God. They haven't experienced a new birth. They haven't been born again. But on the other hand, if they've experienced that, as Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice," they will follow. They will obey. We see this illustrated in another part of Scripture, Acts chapter 17, verses 10 to 11. It's a significant passage when we think about the idea of discernment, of how we need to discern between truth and error. Paul went on a missionary journey, and he got to a place called Berea, a city. And he speaks about how they, or Luke speaks about how they responded to the teaching. It says in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, "Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica," speaking about the church there. Why? Because this is what he says. "They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so." So what they did was this. If, like, we're here this morning, and I'm preaching God's word, they don't just sit there and listen and say, "It must be right." They tested it. They examined it in the light of the scriptures to see if these things were so. That is how all Christians should be. Whoever is giving a sermon, you need to be checking it against Scripture. Now, I sincerely trust and pray that I will not go into error. But you need to be checking that. You need to be listening and saying, well, hang on a minute, does this fit with what I know of God's Word? And that's why it's so important that we know God's Word, so that we're able to discern between error and the truth. That's exactly what John is saying in this passage. He says at the beginning, don't believe every spirit. Test the spirits. Test them by seeing what they say of Jesus Christ. If it doesn't match with what you know from God's word of who he is, fully God, fully man, you know it's error. Check it by the scriptures. See what God's word says. If someone comes and gives you a word from God and it's contrary to what the Bible teaches, it's error. Test it. Examine it. To see if these things were so. Now as we close, there is a danger that we can misapply what we've been thinking about this morning. You see, what we can find ourselves doing is just looking around and in every other church saying, oh, they've got that bit wrong. Just because they don't look like us, they don't sound like us. Perhaps they do things slightly differently. Maybe they have different views on secondary matters. And we say, oh, you know, I'm being discerning. They've got it wrong. Sadly, it's sometimes that happens. Actually, that's not discernment. That's having a critical spirit. And we need to take care that that doesn't happen. But John says to us, we do need to be aware that false teaching is around. We need to test all the teaching that we receive. We test it by seeing what is taught about who Jesus is. We test it by measuring all of the teaching against Scripture. If the teaching denies the deity and humanity of Christ and that he died for our sins, rising a few days later, then it is false teaching. If those propagating the teaching don't value or follow the Scriptures, then their teaching will be error. John points out, they will get eager listeners from the world, but not from those who truly know God.